is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey here on this Saturday morning. And what better way to spend a gloomy Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning than to stay inside and watch us and listen to us here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael, how we doing, man?
We're doing great, Femi. You know, it's summertime. We've got we're getting closer to the start of football season, which is always good. We got the NBA draft to discuss as we go through this free agency period, which starts. You know, we talked about it yesterday. This sport's different than the NFL, whereas they have their draft first and then they get into free agency. So it's going to be interesting to see how the team builders combine the two together.
It's going to be really interesting to see. We're going to break it all down over these next 2 hours. Starting in 30 minutes, our buddy Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director at the Borgata, will join us to talk about how the odds have shifted after a handful of trades that we've seen in the NBA. Then coming up at 8:15 West Coast time, 11:15 Eastern, our buddy Carl Jick Jack Johnson, sportsbook manager over at the Beau Rivage in Biloxi, will talk a little College World Series. The final series starts today in Omaha between LSU and Florida. Then at 8:30 West Coast time, 11:30 Eastern, its former college basketball head coach led Marquette to the Final Four back in 2003. Now ESPN college basketball analyst Tom Crean will join the show later on in hour number two to discuss these NBA draft prospects. And I want to ask Coach Crean, why do so many of the great college basketball players have to wait all the way till the end of the second round to hear their names called, or don't hear their names called at all? We'll talk about that with Coach Crean later on in hour number two. But Michael, you mentioned it. The NBA draft happens before the NBA free agency, not like the NFL, where the NFL does free agency before the draft. Like, would you ever see a scenario where the NFL would adopt that, where, hey, we draft players and then we go ahead and do free agency?
No, because it's because of the college season and the pro season being so long, you know, it's difficult to get the players' physicals, the medicals, all those things that you need to get to really get prepared for the draft. You know, when you go back and study the history of the draft, there would be two drafts. They would do a draft in November, and then they would finish it in January after the season. But remember, we were dealing with the 12-game NFL schedule. Things were a lot less condensed. College didn't play as many games. Now, it's almost impossible not to have it sometime in April. It ticks towards the end of April. But I think it's really hard because the data that you must collect takes time.
Yeah, no, it takes a lot of time, especially with the NFL stuff. I mean, we're seeing now the college with the new college football playoff. These guys are going to be playing into like January 20th now with the new tournament. So it's going to have to push back the Senior Bowl. It's going to have to push back the NFLPA Bowl. All these all-star games for the college seniors. And, of course, the Combine, it's already been pushed back to March. Like it's a trickle-down effect with the NFL draft process that we're going to start to see here with college football going to a more extended schedule. But let's get into some of the headlines from around the association here for our weekend audience. Obviously, Thursday night, Victor Wembanyama. It was the coronation of him going to San Antonio. The Spurs fans are excited about Wembanyama. The betting market is excited about Wembanyama. The odds over at DraftKings, Michael, it's funny because the Spurs, who last year were just atrocious, now are 2-1 to win 35 plus regular season games, plus 650 to win 40 plus regular season games. There's all sorts of Wembanyama props. Do we need to pump the brakes a little bit here on Wembanyama, or are you on the train that Wembanyama is going to instantly turn San Antonio into a winning team?
Well, I mean, let's go back in time, right? When they drafted Tim Duncan, okay? When they drafted Tim Duncan, Bob Hill was the coach for about, you know, I think 18 games during that San Antonio season. Mm-hmm. And then Pop took over, and Pop finished 17-47 during that year. All right, so basically they went from a team that had about 21 wins, kind of what they have now, and then the next season they won 56 wins. It was a 40-game improvement, right? It was a 40-game improvement by adding Tim Duncan to their team. I don't see that with Victor. I mean, I think they're going to be careful. They're going to try to get him more physical, get his body in, you know, more conducive to the physicality of the league and grow. But if they got from 21 to 40 to 40, that would be a remarkable. I think they're going to get somewhere between 35 and 40. They're going to improve. He's really a good player, and they've got some good young players on their team, but I think that's going to be a huge, huge jump.
And I think, too, with that example with Tim Duncan joining the Spurs, because Popovich, correct me if I'm wrong, but he came down from the front office, didn't he, to then be, start being a head coach? Yes, he came down from the front office there, and David Robinson had gotten hurt that season as well, which kind of gave them the opportunity to sort of bottom out and then kind of go all in and see where the ping pong balls fell, and they were lucky enough to go ahead and draft Tim Duncan, which we all know the rest is history there.
Right, and so, you know, I think what, the reason that you bring it up is Duncan was probably, his body was more physical, ready to play for the years at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Not that Victor can't get his body to that place, but I do think we have to understand it's going to take some time. At least he was playing in a competitive league. Some of these kids in the G League, I mean, they're going to take some time to get up to speed. I mean, one thing about the NFL draft is, you know, you've got to play 3 years of college football to enter a draft. And so that's 3 years of offseason training, 3 years of trying to get your body ready. And they're still not ready when they show up. But at least you're further along than some of these kids. Scoot Henderson, who's been in the G League. I mean, Brandon Miller played in the Southeast Conference. I think he's more ready to play than Scoot. You know, Scoot's going to be one of those guys who's going to have to develop and move along as you come to, because the level of comp, and we'll talk to Tom Cream about this, but I think that's really going to be a hard thing to handle.
Yeah, I think patience is the key word for a lot of these guys, especially the guys like Scoot Henderson or the Thompson twins, Amen and Asar, who played at Overtime Elite. I mean, we're talking about level of competition. Overtime Elite's still pretty new. We're not sure what the level of competition is there, but the Thompson twins, a lot of people rave about them going 4-5. A cool story just from a family standpoint there to go 4-5, a couple of twins, but we're going to see if they can kind of translate.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? I mean, I love the competition between the brothers. Who's better, who's not, you know, going back and forth. But it'll be fun to watch them both, you know. And it's going to be fun to see what Houston does. You know, there was a time I was told by somebody in the league that Houston basically went to Harden and said, we need an answer by today or tomorrow. And this is earlier in the week, and he didn't give them an answer. So it sounds like Houston's moving to Nick Van Fleet to pair, you know, to put in their rotation to kind of give them some veteran experiences as they collect all this young talent on their team.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet coming over from Toronto there. He's in free agency. He's going to get a lot of money this upcoming offseason because he's a productive guard. I mean, he's won an NBA championship with that Raptors team as well. And I think they do need some adults in that room there in Houston because they have a lot of young, talented players, not a whole lot of direction, but getting Ime Udoka in there, he's an established head coach. I mean, what he's been able to do as a head coach, at least for that matter, and get some toughness to that Houston team that was really bad defensively just a year ago. But we know the rookies aren't going to make the biggest impact from a winning standpoint, at least in their first seasons. We saw some trades that might make some big impacts, and the betting markets reacted to that as well. Earlier this week, Bradley Beal traded to the Phoenix Suns from Washington, the moved the Suns odd from plus 850 to now plus 550. We saw the Kristaps Porzingis trade to Boston. The Celtics are now the favorites over at BetMGM to win the NBA title from plus 550 to plus 475. And then recently, Chris Paul going to the Golden State Warriors. It's funny how that worked out after the whole rivalry of Chris Paul and the Warriors fans. Warriors move, just a slight move, 13-1 to now 12-1. Which of those moves, Michael, do you like the most?
You know, I think all of them have their own problems, but you got to think that, you know, Chris Paul going to Golden State, really by removing Jordan Poole, kind of, they all said, hey, look, the Jordan Poole, Draymond Green thinks no big deal, right? Mm. Well, you know, anytime you have that kind of internal combustion within a team, it really doesn't play as well. And at least they get an adult in the room. One thing about the Warriors, you know, Bob Myers, who left as the general manager, that they have failed on these draft picks. I mean, they were really ready to load up and have another run, but they haven't really been able to hit with these picks, and it's been problematic. So they get an adult in the room. I think there's been a real problem in the transition between the young players of Golden State with the older players, and Chris Paul will help settle that down, even if he doesn't start playing until, you know, February, March, April, you know, for the stretch run as they come through it. So the Bradley Beal deal to me, at what he costs them in terms of salary, they only have five players. They'll have 12 minimum guys. I mean, they're the Los Angeles Rams of the NBA. And I think that'll be problematic. Now, for Porzingis, you know, he gives them a rim defender, a spacer, helps take some pressure off of Al Horford. I think that would help. You know, I loved Marcus Smart as a player, but Marcus Smart the last 2 years hasn't been as good defensively as they want, and I think Brad Stevens really believes Derek White needs to be the point guard full-time, the facilitator, and by getting Porzingis, they become a longer, more athletic team on the wing, which is something they need to do. It'll be interesting what they do with Grant Williams. Do they sign him? Do they sign and trade him? I think Boston has more moves left up their sleeve.
Yeah, Brad Stevens now is getting comfortable in that role as being the front office head there in Boston. And, I mean, he's made the uncomfortable moves. He's not really afraid to go ahead and make tough trades, like trading away Marcus Smart, who's kind of been the leader of that team. And I thought he was going to be a Celtic player for life, but now is in Memphis. I want to ask you about the Golden State Warriors, though, because I think from a team-building aspect, it's a really fascinating situation. Because a couple of years ago, they were able to thread the needle and plan for today and also plan for tomorrow. But it felt like that really came to a head this season, how you mentioned that the young guys and the older guys had a little bit of a schism in the locker room there. Is it possible in the NBA to be able to successfully plan for today and plan for tomorrow over the long haul?
Well, I think we're going to find out what Oklahoma City does, right? I think there is. It's just that if you don't hit the right picks or if you don't blend the right player into that, you know, when you have a great culture and you've got a great player like Steph Curry, you know, the players have to fall in. And, you know, sometimes that just doesn't happen. And I think to me, it's all about the player. Now, you know, can Mooney do that? He's the one survivor of this, right? Yeah. Is he going to play to the level that they need him to play? We'll find out.
Yeah, I know Jonathan Kuminga, he was looking, the shots at him during the playoffs, he looked frustrated because he wanted to play. And they kind of took him out of the rotation there.
They're not ready to play, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, and it's a tricky situation because obviously, like, those guys are all competitive and, like, they're like, they want to get out there. But, like, the team is like, hey, we need to have more veteran presence and we need smarter basketball IQ. And presumably, they're going to get that with Chris Paul now in the Bay Area. All right, on the other side, we're going to get in what's on Michael's mind next here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early, coming out June 29th. Folks, that's 5 days away. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. That's an excellent deal. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. I cannot wait, Michael, for the NFL guide to come out just 5 days away. And then we're going to start to get into that mode of planning for the football season, thinking about who's going to do well, who's going to underperform, who's going to be the steal and all that stuff. Like it's I cannot wait for it. I know you've been writing for the guide as well. You've written a couple things. I know your picks are in the guide as well for who you think is going to win the divisions, who you think is going to win the Super Bowl. You want to give the folks a little appetizer?
Well, I mean, look, I think, you know, one thing we know about the NFL is there's always new teams. They're playoff teams. But every year we start out with we believing all the teams that made the playoffs are going to make it back when history has shown us that mostly 50% of the teams that make the playoffs 1 year don't come back the next year. So if you turn in a prediction that has all the teams from last year, you're basically going to be wrong. So I try to mix it up a little bit. I think Cleveland has a good chance to make the playoffs. I think Green Bay, you know, in the North, I'm not on that Detroit Lions love boat train that's going on. You know, I think New England's going to be a much better team than they were last year. And last year through, you know, Pierre Strong's missed block of the punt team, the Las Vegas fiasco, and then, you know, the fumble by Stevenson against Cincinnati. I mean, they're a playoff team, but you take those games in. So, you know, I know they play in a hard division. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that when you're good on defense, you have a chance. Green Bay can be good on defense. So can New England.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really a lot of fun, a lot of packed great information into that guide. Once again, June 29th when it comes out. I even wrote a little bit of stuff in there, Michael. I wrote, because I love betting on awards. I love betting on the awards. You know, it's always fun because you get caught up in the narratives and see, like, what the voters are going to do, because I think there's some edges to be had. So I'm not going to tell you who I wrote about, but I'll tell you which awards markets that I wrote on. It's Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year. So check that out in the guide, just 5 days away, June 29th. You can see it on vsin.com. You can subscribe for as low as $19, and then you can get the summer kickoff special for $175. I don't know what better deal that you'd want for your NFL preseason betting preparation. All right, let's get into what's on Michael's mind. And this is a segment that we were doing here on the Lombardi Line, which we say, hey, what's Michael been tweeting about? What's he been thinking about in the NFL and in other sports as well? But this one happens to be in the NFL. But Michael, I'll ask you the question. What's on your mind, man?
You know, this morning when I was started getting ready for the show, I noticed that Carson Wentz was hunting up in Alaska. And he posted a picture of him killing a black bear on Twitter and social media, which, you know, look, I'm not a hunter. I don't own guns. That's not who I am. That's not part of my life. But obviously, it's part of other people's lives. And as an American, they have every right to do that. But I do think there is a place, a time and place for understanding what you're putting out, you know, and I think less is more. And for Wentz to post a picture of him in front of the bear and showing everybody of what he did is kind of insensitive and not understanding the world today. And I think this reflects back to him as a teammate. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the reasons why Jim Irsay was so anxious to get him out of the building, because he couldn't connect to people. Your quarterback has to connect to people. He has to be able to be part of the group. As even as he gets great, or if he's not great, he's got to be able to connect. And to me, this picture is an example of Wentz not understanding how to connect. You know, how to connect. I don't condone this. I'm not a hunter. I couldn't kill anything. You know, maybe the crickets in my garage I could, but other than that, that's about it. But now if the bear's charging me, I've got to save my life. Maybe I'm going to do something. But to me, that's not who I am. But that doesn't make me right and them wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But to me, what I want to see from Wentz is that he understands his faults and where he's misconnected. And this is an example of someone who hasn't.
And I think on the graphic that we have for our viewing audience, it says Carson Wentz has no awareness. And I think that's like the perfect way to say it. Like, be self-aware and be able to read the room is one thing that I think that a leader should be able to do, a quarterback should be able to do. And at every stop of the way, like, the teams feel like they're like, oh my God, thank God we got him out of here. You know, like that shouldn't be the case when you're supposed to be the franchise quarterback, which he was drafted to be way back in 2016. And it was actually, the post was on Instagram where Carson Wentz put it. There was actually some funny comments. Somebody said that maybe Nick Foles shot it and Wentz just came here to claim the credit and all that stuff. It says maybe Nick Foles shot it and he just tried to take credit for it. I saw somebody else tweeting about it on Twitter saying that, wow, Wentz finally hit an open target. Now everyone's all upset about it. Like, and those are just people making offhand just jokes and all that stuff. But I think for the more serious commentary on this, though, is that, like, hey, man, like, yeah, despite whether this is right or wrong, that doesn't matter. Like, there are going to be some people who are kind of like that don't like that. Obviously, there's animal lovers in this world, and hey, you know, more power to you. Like, I'm more in your boat of, hey, I don't have a gun, I've never owned a gun, I've never killed anything that's not been like a fly or anything like that. And it's just like, hey, sometimes you got to read the room a little bit. Like, not everyone's gonna love that, just like how not everyone's gonna love how you maybe carry yourself. And that's maybe why sometimes he's not able to connect to some of his teammates.
Right. So, you know, he's in a position now where he's looking for a backup quarterback job. Mm-hmm. And a backup quarterback is a guy that has to kind of connect to his teammates. He's a guy that has to invoke confidence without evidence, in the sense that you don't get to see him play. But the team's got to feel like if he comes in the game, yeah, he's got us. He's going to be okay. And you've got to read the room. You've got to understand your role. And you could spend time with John Gruden trying to get your mechanics better. Well, that's not the reason why you're struggling to get your career in order, you know. And two teams, the Colts and the Washington Commanders, have mortgaged some of their draft picks to get you, believing that you could become the player you were in 2017. But this isn't about arm strength. This isn't about timing. This isn't about execution. This is about you as a person understanding how to connect. And I think this is a reason why Carson Wentz doesn't get it. And it's hard to get it. If Frank Reich couldn't get it out of him in Indianapolis, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And if I don't know where Scott Turner was with them. I'm sure they probably didn't want to bring him in, but it was the only alternative they had. And I'm sure that they would probably share an opinion of, look, this guy just, he can't connect. He just doesn't do things. And when you watch the Washington Commanders season and Scott Turner loses his job, a lot of it is in the reflection of the quarterback not making a play. I mean, they've got Washington, they've got Tennessee beat earlier in the season, and he throws an interception in the red zone. I mean, you know, the guy's 2-5 as a starter, and then they put Tyler Heinicke in there, and all of a sudden the team, you know, kind of comes to life because they actually like him as a quarterback. So this what drives me crazy is, like, look, be aware. Don't. Why would you stir the cage? You're trying to rebuild your career, not destroy it.
Yeah, I think that point about Frank Reich is dead on. Like, if there's no bigger advocate for Carson Wentz than Frank Reich, and it didn't work out there in Indianapolis. There was no bigger. not anymore.
Yeah,
but he was pounding the table.
I've never heard an owner really. I mean, look, I criticize players. You're too nice to criticize players. But I mean, I've never heard an owner outwardly come out and say what Jim Irsay said about. I mean, just how to get rid of him. I mean, and it wasn't because of his off the field behavior. It was in the building behavior in terms of not being able to connect. That's a powerful thing. And Washington still ignored it. You know, for me, I would have sat in Washington and say, look, if Frank Reich can't get this guy to play good, how are we going to get him to play good?
Mm-hmm. That's a fair question to ask. And Washington, they were like tripping over themselves to go ahead and trade for him. Like it wasn't even like he was a free agent. They traded for him.
They were the only team to offer him. I mean, and so, you know, look, again, this isn't about hunting and weapons and killing. This is about understanding who you are and understanding the room and being a leader. And leaders will tell the truth, right? Leaders have a way to connect to people. And Wentz just doesn't seem to have that. And even though he played magnificently in 2017 before he got hurt in the Coliseum, he has not. We have not seen him play anywhere near that level again.
Yeah, that feels like a long ways away, that 2017 season, where he was marching to be the MVP of the league. And now he's in Alaska doing what he's doing, and maybe he'll get signed before training camp or once training camp gets underway. But right now, Carson Wentz's career kind of on the rails. And, I mean, at this point, I don't think he's ever going to be a team starter ever again. It's going to be, hey, maybe he does a couple spot starts, but he's mainly going to be a backup.
Well, who's going to trust him? Do you trust him?
No.
The only chance he has to get a job is if a quarterback gets hurt. Look, every team has four quarterbacks on their roster. There are 32 teams, right? So that's over 120 quarterbacks are already on the team. Where's he getting a job?
Remains to be seen. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, we'll get to news or noise with some interesting NFL headlines. But coming up next, our buddy Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata, joins us here on the Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe here in Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey and also out in the great state of New Jersey. Joining us right now here, our first guest on the program, is the one and only Thomas Gable, Race and Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata in Atlantic City. And TG, hope all is well. We appreciate you joining us here this morning, earlier than usual, but we appreciate the flexibility here from you. But I want to ask about the NBA draft, because I know, like, some books were able to book it, some did not. And obviously it's very chaotic draft betting and draft odds, and with all the news that we get from these insiders, especially the day of, like we got with the number 2 overall pick. But just from your vantage point, what was Thursday like for you, just watching the odds and watching the market move based on a couple of tweets from the recognizable insiders?
Yeah, I mean, it gave me PTSD from last year. It's tough. You know, last year's, for those who don't remember, you know, there was a lot of movement there around Boncaro and going number 1. Obviously, there was no mystery around who was going to go number one this year, but it seemed the number two pick was the one that the odds movement was really going around. So, you know, the drafts, it's much like the NFL draft, but with even less liquidity trying to book these things. So that's what makes it so difficult. The NFL draft, I mean, not that anybody really loves putting that up, but you do it because it's the NFL and you get much more people involved. The NBA draft is much more of a niche type market. So you don't get much public money, if at all, going into that. So it's a very difficult thing to do. And, you know, you're constantly seeing odds fluctuate. Again, in this, if you're booking to the 2, 3, 4, 5 spots, et cetera, not just the number one spot, and really if you're only booking the number one spot, there's no point in putting that up this year because there was no mystery around who was going to go number one.
TG, so I know the draft doesn't impact the betting market in the sense of the futures or win totals, but did the Bradley Beal trade affect you in your shop with Phoenix, or the Chris Paul trade to Golden State, or the Porzingis trade to the Celtics do any impact on your future market?
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of movement there. Porzingis to the Celtics dropped them to 5-1 overall for the title. The Nuggets are still favored to win the title, but Boston now is the favorite out of the East. And Smart's time there in Boston, I think anybody who's watched Boston closely the last couple of years, I think it was probably definitely time to move on, maybe a year too late to move on from Smart there. Defensively, he just hasn't been as good. Still a very good player, don't get me wrong, but Porzingis gives them a whole different dynamic now. It's certainly going to be Jason Tatum's team. But Porzingis gives them something that they haven't had before. And make no mistake, they are the team to beat there in the East. Yes, I know Milwaukee will still be there. I don't know what you want to say about the 76ers, Michael. You know, obviously still to come with Harden, things to be determined there, whether he goes to Houston or is he just using Houston as leverage to get a better deal in Philly. If they think they're going to run that back and have any sort of chance here against Boston or Milwaukee just simply because they have Nick Nurse, I think they're kidding themselves. But so really in the East, I think it comes down to the Celtics and to the Bucks. The West is much more interesting to me, I think. We still don't know where Lillard's going to end up. Does he go to Miami? We've seen some odd movement there on Miami. A lot of future money coming in on Miami here, trying to get a better price. They were 25-1 about a week and a half ago. They're down to 16-1 now to win the title. Just with that speculation, maybe Damian Lillard ends up there. But I think the West overall, when you look at it now, you have Golden State. Yes, they got Chris Paul. To me, moved on from Jordan Poole. To me, though, this is a team that they're kind of now on their downward path. When you still have Steph Curry, you're going to be able to contend if Steph is healthy in the playoffs. But they are not the team to beat. And even with Phoenix doing what they did with Beal, I still don't think that really answers the major questions that nagged this team through the playoffs, and that is the depth, the lack thereof with the bench. The Nuggets are still going to be that team to beat there in the West. But you're going to see teams, though, that come up like the Kings did last year. I think the Thunder here this year, they're going to be an exciting team to watch, and you can still get great numbers on them. I mean, yes, they have SGA. They made a push for the playoffs last season. And then in the draft, when you look at what they did in the draft, got Cason Wallace, the guard out of Kentucky, who will be a contributor right away for them as a playmaker. He can handle the ball. He can defend. It was an excellent pick there for the Thunder, I thought. Then they also drafted Keontae Johnson out of Kansas State, who, if his health holds up, he has a decent amount of potential there. at Kansas State last season. He averaged 17.4 points per game, 6.8 rebounds. And then they also picked up Davis Bertans from the Mavs, very good three-point shooter. This team, I think, just has a great upside and should definitely be in the thick of things for come playoff contention. They're a team that right now, I think, if just based on the numbers, that's a team maybe you want to take a shot on.
We're speaking with Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata. TG, you hinted at it, the Damian Lillard and Miami connection that people are starting to make. They're betting the Miami Heat. Let's say that the Heat are able to pull off that trade with Portland and acquire Damian Lillard while also keeping Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and let's say that they keep Tyler Hero as well. Where would you put Miami? Like, do you put them right up there with Celtics and with the Bucks as well? Because right now they're 7-1 over at BetMGM to win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, I would. I think they certainly would surpass the Sixers at that point. So, yeah, I would put them certainly in the conversation with the Bucks. I don't put them necessarily right there with the Celtics, but I think right there in terms of pricing and basically in terms of where the Bucks are sitting right now. So, yeah, I mean, I think they certainly, though, surpass the Sixers.
Oh, yeah, I mean, look. I think the Sixers, as you said, TG, I mean, you know, they did nothing on draft day. They had no picks. They lost one for the tampering charge in the second round. And, you know, and we saw their draft board and their depth lineup come out, and it looks like it's going to be the same lineup as last year. And there's a lot of pressure on Nurse to kind of get this thing turned around. So I think – I don't know about listening to Riley's press conference at the end of the season. I'm not sure Riley is all in on – giving up his franchise. The way he talked about Hero and the way he talked about Bam, you know, you're going to have to give something up to get Lillard. It's going to have to be an attractive offer. I just don't see that. I think the pick they made, the kid from UCLA, fits them so perfectly. I think that's why their number moved up. And the way they played last year at the end of the year when they finally, you know, they finally beat Chicago to get in, you know, I think that's motivating them.
It would be interesting to see, because you said Riley's typically not, we've seen from history, he's not that type of guy to mortgage a lot to get someone like that. So, is it a little bit less likely to happen just because it's Pat Riley? Maybe. You don't want him, you don't expect him to see giving up a lot to get somebody like Lillard.
Gosh, but they needed help with that guard spot, especially in the NBA Finals, even at the tail end of the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, we all love Gabe Vincent and what he was able to do and stuff like that, but, like, you could tell, like, they needed a little bit more from that spot. Like, those guards were getting outplayed by the Denver backcourt, especially in the NBA Finals. TG, we got about 45 seconds left. College World Series is going on as well later on this week in Florida and LSU in Omaha. How are people betting that over at the Borgata?
I mean, the handle has certainly picked up year on year with it. It's an event that has increased in popularity, at least in terms of the betting here. So, you know, obviously the unders have been the big story there in the tournament. And now, again, the number one seed in Wake Forest has been eliminated. Just seems like the number one seeds go to die there every year. And now you have Florida and LSU in the best of three. So, but definitely the unders have been getting played. People, I think, have caught up to the fact that, you know, this is a bigger ballpark than these teams typically play in, and the wind seems to always be blowing in there. So every game has come in to the under so far, and that's typically the way the last couple games where the public has kind of caught on there and driven this number down on the game.
Right. He is Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata. TG, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for being flexible.
Thanks, TG.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, on the other side, why not the Green Bay Packers? We answer that question next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in Las Vegas on this Saturday morning. We just had Thomas Gable on in the last segment, the race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. We appreciate TG for jumping on with us here in hour number one. Always a pleasure to catch up with him. But Michael, we wanted to spend this segment to spotlight one of your columns. You wrote this earlier this week for VSiN.com with our writer Spotlight. And you asked a simple question and a very fair question as far as I'm concerned is, why not the Green Bay Packers? This team that has a win total of 7.5. Right now, they've been kind of dancing back and forth as the third team or the fourth team in the odds board to win the NFC North. A lot of people down on this Packers team. In fact, that win total, Michael, is the lowest that it's been since 2007. So I ask you, why not the Packers?
Well, I think there's a couple things playing here, right? Nobody knows about Jordan Love, whether he can be a good player or not. Nobody knows about Desmond Ridder, whether he could be a good player or not, but that doesn't seem to block the Falcons from being perceived as a good team. Everybody thinks Justin Fields is going to have this incredible MVP season this year, even though there's no evidence based on last year that he played well. I mean, let's just be clear. I know I'm going to hear that the last five games his QBR was much better. I'm going to just not go down that road. So I think when you look at the Packers over the last five games of the season, they held teams to 17.4 points. They lost the last game of the year to Detroit. Even though they held Detroit to 20 points, their offense could only muster 16. They only scored 24 points in two games against the Lions defense. Not good. They held the Lions to 36 points in two games. Really good, considering the Lions. So their defense is going to be stronger. Jai Alexander should play the whole season. He missed time. I think their front can be very good. They've got some good young players and then a mix of older players. Kenny Clark, one of those guys. So, and Rashard Gary. I think defensively they can be very good. I think offensively the uncertainty is with Love. And with two backs, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, both averaged over 5 yards a carry. I think it's time for Matt LaFleur to say, okay, we're not going to run the Aaron Rodgers offense any longer. We're going to run this offense, which is going to be heavy run, short passing game, allow Love to get into it. And if Love's just half decent, why can't they win 8 games, 9 games? I mean, it wasn't like last year their offense was so good. You know, now they went through some injuries. Rodgers had a lot of young players around them. But I do think now they can get back to running an offense that fits what they want to do and not have to run Aaron's offense, which was part of Devontae Adams' offense too. So I just like their defense. I think they've improved in the kicking game. So I think those two things make me feel more comfortable. I think Green Bay, Lambeau Field is hard to play up there. And they're playing in the North. I mean, why Detroit? Why Chicago? I mean, Green Bay can beat any one of those teams.
And I think the point from the betting standpoint is we're talking about the price as well with this, because the Packers are being priced and they're being rated as if it's almost a virtual certainty that Jordan Love is not good. I don't see how anybody can make that claim when we've only seen him play a couple games. And I think the point that we brought up on our podcast, Michael, that I really want to drive home here for our audience here on the weekend is that Jair Alexander and the comment that he had about Jordan Love, obviously being hyperbole, talking about how, hey, he can be the best quarterback or whatever, but there is that quiet confidence within that organization. And I think that's something that as bettors and just as football fans, we should be making note of, because if they feel comfortable with this guy, maybe we should start to feel comfortable with this guy, which means if they get competent quarterback play, like you mentioned with all the surrounding pieces, this can be a very good team that goes right back to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the pricing, too, makes me feel like it's worthwhile, especially considering that, you know, the Vikings are plus 280. Like, the Vikings have numerous troubles on defense. Their offensive line still is a work in progress. They've lost Dalvin Cook. Yes, I know they've got the great Justin Jefferson, and they added Addison from USC at the receiving core. But still, you know, they were very fortunate to win that many games last year on the last second plays, all those things that go into it. So I just think if you're taking a chance on a quarterback, why not Love? Now, he played 2 years ago against Kansas City. It didn't look good. He wasn't great last preseason, but I haven't watched him practice, but LaFleur and the team has. And to me, if you're willing to risk going into your offseason with Sean Clifford and Danny Effling as your backup quarterbacks, that must tell you you have a lot of confidence in what Love has done on the practice field. Because to me, if I were there and Love was not very good, I would be willing to say, okay, maybe I don't want Carson Wentz, but we need to get a veteran in here because we got to protect our football team. They haven't done that. You know, Danny Effling and Sean Clifford. I mean, Sean Clifford being picked in the fifth round was surprising. Him being as viewed as potential backup, if Danny Effling, that's even more surprising. So there's something that they're telling us by what they've seen that we haven't seen.
And one thing that I always like to analyze as well with some of these teams that have a chance to have a higher upside than people think is, what does the schedule look like? And for Green Bay, the schedule is pretty manageable. Like it's hard to kind of prognosticate the second half of the season because injuries happen, teams surprise us, teams disappoint. Like, it's hard to kind of project that second half. But the first half of the schedule, it's not too daunting when you look at it. I mean, you start the first 2 weeks on the road, but you're on the road against teams who are uncertain about, at Chicago, at Atlanta. Then you come home to face New Orleans, and then you have a big home game against Detroit on Thursday night, where we know home teams tend to have that advantage on Thursday night. Now, it's a tricky Monday night football game, having to go out to the West Coast in primetime to face the Raiders. But then you get the bye week, and then you go to Denver, home Vikings, home Rams. Like, within those first 9 weeks, like, why can't the Packers be 6-2 or 5-3? Like, that's in the realm of possibility just based on if they get the good quarterback play from Jordan Love.
I don't even think they need good quarterbacking play. I think what they need is not to turn the ball over, to take the profits, to play within the system, rely on your players. Christian Watson takes a huge step up. Mm-hmm. Romeo Doubs takes a step up, you know, and all of a sudden now we're much improved, and Luke Musgrave becomes a better tight end, you know, and they give him somebody as a rookie. He ends up making a contribution. And then defensively, you know, we're going to be able to kind of hang in there, and we can stop. They didn't stop the run last year. It was the biggest issue. But if they can do that, I think they can be an improved team. And if he just plays within, look, Rodgers threw 12 interceptions last year, which is very unlike him. That's not something he typically does. But I felt like last year it was LaFleur trying to run an offense that was more about Aaron Rodgers than it was about his personnel. And I think he needs to change it. I think there's a lot of pressure on him to become a head coach, to see, okay, this is my team this year. This is what I need to look like. But let's not confuse it now. Aaron Jones is a really good running back, and so is A.J. Dillon. And I think, to me, you know, they can be improved with just improved play from Love. And I'm kind of optimistic about Love. I really am.
Yeah, and this is the handpicked quarterback that Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst wanted to be the successor to Aaron Rodgers, because they moved up in the draft back in 2020 to go ahead and select him out of Utah State. So clearly they have that confidence in him. Have you sent your column over to Big Daddy? How's he feeling now that we're sitting here
Big
in the offseason?
Big Daddy doesn't feel good about his team, but Big Daddy could have just won the Super Bowl and find 17 reasons why his team's no good. So I tend to dismiss Big Daddy's offseason evaluation because, you know, as he goes from one job to the other in his carpentry business, it's an amazing how he can still know about all the players that are out there and can judge everything. It's just phenomenal how he can work full time and still understand all the things that are going on and evaluate, you know, Tucker Kraft, the tight end from South Dakota State, or, you know, Jalen Reed, who they got. It's amazing. I just don't know. And still, remember now, Big Daddy's also on the political landscape now.
Oh.
He'll tell you everything you need to know about the politics going on in the country. I wouldn't be surprised if he was headed over to Moscow today to try to sort some things out.
Big Daddy's a diplomat, maybe.
I mean, very much so, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a big year for him.
And also, he's got two children that are doctors, and he thinks he can prescribe medicine as well. It's a remarkable landscape the man has. It's unbelievable.
He's locked in. He's locked into everything that's going on.
He's a polymath. He can cover any area very well, yes.
We absolutely love it. But just to send the column to Big Daddy, but hey, man, be a little bit more optimistic, you know? Things are looking up for Green Bay.
All thinking alike, if we're everybody thinks Detroit's the best team, I'm going to think something different. I watched Detroit last year. Mm-hmm. I saw 350 yards get run against them. And if their free safety didn't make two great tackles, it would have been 500 yards.
Yeah. Detroit, they're talented. They seem to be on the rise, but they also have holes on that defense as well. And as a favorite, where the expectation is to win 9-10 games, I can't get there with the Lions. We start hour number two, news or noise in the National Football League next here on the Lombardi Line.